Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastya Chyadesh Tarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakapaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha. Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita Ki Jai. Srila Sanatana Goswami Ki Jai. So, yes, again, welcome everyone. And we're very happy to have you here with us. Thank you very much for participating. We appreciate your interest and your involvement very, very much. We hope you're finding it all interesting. This is a literature that the devotees don't study so much, but it's very interesting, very deep. There's a lot we can learn. So, as we said, we are in the fourth chapter of the first part, and we're in the little bit later part of the fourth chapter. And Narada Muni, searching for who has received the greatest mercy of the Lord, he is currently with Hanuman, having been directed there by Prahlad Maharaj. And Narada Muni has already glorified Hanuman. And if you know the way this book is structured, which we've discussed quite a bit, you would know how it works. Narada Muni comes and glorifies, in this case, Hanuman. You are the recipient of the greatest mercy of the Lord, and gives different reasons, good reasons, why he feels like that. But then the person who he's addressing and glorifying, in this case, Hanuman, says, "No, no, no, no. Actually, I have no mercy from the Lord." And then explains why he feels he's got no mercy, and then explains who he thinks does have the mercy. So in this case, Narada Muni is with Hanuman, as we said, and they've been through the process of, "You got the mercy." "No, I didn't get the mercy." And now we're at the point where Hanuman is going to explain who he feels has got the mercy and why he feels they've got the mercy. And then Narada Muni is going to go to that place and meet those people and go through this whole process again. So like this, we'll learn a lot about who's got the mercy, what mercy they've got, and what mercy is more mercy. There are different levels of mercy. So gradually we'll understand more clearly what is really the greatest mercy. So anyway, here we are now. We're at verse 73 We're at verse 73. And there's a section here. It's Hanuman basically directing Narada to the Pandavas, as we said. And that section will take us from this verse 73 to verse 83. And anyway, when we get to 83, we'll tell you where we go from there. But first of all, Hanuman directs Narada to the Pandavas in Hastinapur. So let's, there's some kind of substantial purports here. Yeah, there are. So I think what we'll do, we'll read through from 73 to 83, just the verses, then we'll come back and read the verses again with some the explanations given in the purports, because there are some fairly substantial purports. So, first of all, verses 73 and 74, they're together. So, but now, and this is Hanuman speaking, of course, but now he, the Lord, he means, he has descended to Mathura Puri, where he displays the summit of his opulences and powers. All the mercy he has shown me cannot equal even a speck of the mercy he has shown the saintly Pandavas, any more than a molecule of earth can equal Mount Sumeru. 75. By sending poison and many other calamities one after another to trouble the Pandavas from their childhood, the Lord deliberately showed their determination, religion, fame, wisdom, devotion, and ecstatic love. 76. He acted as their servant, advisor, messenger, charioteer, and court attendant. He kept watch for them at night, followed them on processions, and even offered them praise and obeisances. Out of his affectionate concern for them, what would the Lord not do? He was seen taking the combined roles of their servant, companion, and dearmost friend, and they took the same roles for him. 78. Because the Lord resides constantly with the Pandavas, their capital city has become like a sacred forest where great sages perform austerities, and residing in that city awards one the pious benefits. Residing in that city awards one the same pious benefits as performing austere acts of penance. Sri Parikshit said, upon hearing these words, Sri Narada became uncontrollably eager to see the lotus feet of Krishna. He simply wanted to go to Dwarka and live there forever. He stood up, sat down, and stood up again. He danced enthusiastically, filled with inner joy, and made loud cries. Verse 80. Hanuman's heart was immersed in transcendental tastes from speaking about the Pandavas, with his ecstasy raised even higher by Narada's dancing. He continued to speak about the topics. 81. Sri Hanuman said, all the calamities that befell the Pandavas were most auspicious and desirable, because those calamities made the personality of Godhead anxious to join the Pandavas quickly. And 82. O Pandavas, pure love has subdued you. Ignoring discrimination and etiquette, you engage my Lord as your messenger and charioteer. It's Hanuman speaking. Ah, this is 83. Ah, you Pandavas must know some transcendental herb or mantra that can enchant the most powerful enchanter. Amazing. Amazing. Okay, so let's go back through those verses again and go through the purports to some degree. So back to 73. That, and Hanuman is speaking, that, but now he, the Lord, in this case Krishna, has descended to Mathura Puri, where he displays the summit of his opulences and powers. All the mercy he has shown me cannot equal even a speck of the mercy he has shown the saintly Pandavas. Any more than a molecule of earth can equal Mount Sumeru. Yes. Well, in one interesting point, is that Hanuman has been saying that the Lord just gave me just no mercy. He just didn't give me any mercy at all. But here in this verse, these two verses, 73 and 74, at least he is admitting that he did get some mercy. Compared to what the Pandavas got, he's saying, it really wasn't much at all, but it was something. It was not nothing, which was what he had more or less said before. Yes. So the point that Hanuman is making is that eventually he left me, and, you know, when he went back to the spiritual world, my Lord left me. But at least up till that time, he did give me some mercy. So, he gave me some mercy. Yeah. So now Hanuman, he wants to divert the attention of Narada away from himself to another person or group. So he says, yeah, you must go to the Pandavas. Verse 75. By sending poison and many other calamities one after another to trouble the Pandavas from their childhood, the Lord deliberately showed their determination, religion, fame, wisdom, devotion, and ecstatic love. So the thing is that the Pandavas, as Hanuman is admitting, they had a really extremely hard time. It wasn't, as some people think, you know what some people think? Some people think that if we get the mercy of the Lord, if the Lord is kind to us, everything is just going to go so nicely, so wonderfully. We'll just be enjoying life from morning to night, and 24 hours a day, every day a week. It's really going to be like that. So that's what it means to get mercy. But, of course, that's not necessarily true. And here Hanuman, talking about the history of the Pandavas, he knows that they had a really hard time. And when people have a really hard time, then generally other people think that they have got no mercy from God. Even so many people think that they're being neglected by God, God doesn't like them, that sort of thing. If they have a hard time. But now Hanuman, referring to the difficulties, the many difficulties that the Pandavas went through, Hanuman is saying, this is a sign of mercy from the Lord. Because the Lord was using them in order to demonstrate what first-class devotees are like, how special first-class devotees are. And in that way, the Lord was arranging for the Pandavas to become glorified. That, look and see how the Pandavas dealt with this, and then they dealt with that, and they dealt with so many things, and they came out successful. And even though they were in so many difficult situations, they never lost their Krishna consciousness. In this way, the Lord is showing people the wonderful nature of the Pandavas, so that people will appreciate the Pandavas. The Pandavas will be glorified. Yes. So his point is that the Lord's devotees, the Lord's pure devotees, never perish. And what seems to be their suffering in this world is only for their benefit and glorification. 76. He acted as their servant, advisor, messenger, charioteer, and court attendant. He kept watch for them at night, followed them on processions, and even offered them praise and obeisances. So, not only did the Lord look after the Pandavas as the super soul, by making different arrangements behind the scenes, but the Lord also dealt with them in various public exchanges of love. He showed his love in all these different types of ways. Very, very vividly. So, first of all, Hanuman says he acted as their servant. And an example of that is he drove Arjuna's chariot. That's the activity of a servant. He was an advisor. And sometimes in Maharaj Yudhisthira's court, when Maharaj Yudhisthira was ruling, Lord Krishna sat as the head of the assembly of advisors. Then he washed then as court attendant. He humbly washed the feet of every guest at the Rajasuya sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Like an intimate servant, He anticipated the Pandavas' wishes. So then he's an advisor. Let me just read what it says here. He gave personal counsel to Yudhisthira and carried messages for him. On some occasions, he would stand guard all night with sword in hand. And he would follow Yudhisthira in procession and offer words of praise like an ordinary subordinate. So these examples are given here. Such nice examples. And one verse is quoted, Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, chapter 16, verse 16. Maharaj Parikshit heard that Lord Krishna, who is universally obeyed, out of his causeless mercy, rendered all kinds of service to the malleable sons of Pandu. The Lord accepted posts ranging from chariot driver to president to messenger, friend, and night watchman according to the will of the Pandavas, obeying them like a servant and offering obeisances like one younger in years. When Maharaj Parikshit heard this, he became overwhelmed with devotion to the lotus feet of the Lord. There's one very nice example given in Nectar of Devotion, that one time Lord Krishna and Maharaj Yudhisthira, each on their own chariot, separate from each other, separate chariots, they were coming towards each other on the road, on their chariots. And they each saw each other in their respective chariots. And each one wanted to offer respects to the other and to be the first to offer respect. So as their chariots drew up right next to each other, there was a race. Who can get out first to offer obeisances? And Lord Krishna was first. And the description is that Lord Krishna jumped off his chariot, ran around to the side of Maharaj Yudhisthira's chariot, where there was like the door or the gate for stepping out, because these chariots often would just have one entrance and exit. Not like, you know, four-door car or two-door, but just one door. So Lord Krishna just ran around to that, where that gate or little door was in the side of Yudhisthira's chariot. Threw himself on the ground, right, just like directly under that doorway, and offered full dandavats. And Maharaj Yudhisthira had to stand there and accept that, because you cannot step over the body of a person, particularly a devotee, and what to speak of the Supreme Lord Krishna, you can't step over him. So Maharaj Yudhisthira was forced to stand there and accept the obeisances of Lord Krishna. So these things are revealing the consciousness of the Supreme Lord. Yes. Okay, so verse 77. Out of his affectionate concern for them, what would the Lord not do? He was seen taking the combined roles of their servant, companion, and dearmost friend, and they took the same roles for him. Yes. So, for example, an example is given here. For the Pandavas, Krishna tolerated Bhishma's attacking and wounding him for the sake of the Pandavas. Krishna accepted difficulty, and he accepted having pain inflicted on him by the arrows of Bhishma. Then, for the Pandavas, Krishna broke his promise to not fight in the Battle of Kurukshetra. And for the Pandavas, practically the Lord would do anything, actually. So a skeptic might ask, although God is kind to all his creatures and certainly can be friendly to his devotees, why should he demean himself by trusting ordinary mortals and acting as their servant? Yes, in other words, why should the Lord bring himself down to a lower level because he's God? He's so much higher than anyone else. So why should he come down and become the servant and assistant of ordinary living entities in the material world? It's not right for God to do that. So some may say like that, but here Hanuman resolves that doubt by saying that Krishna's various services for the Pandavas were not a superficial show, but expressions of his true feelings. He was not at any moment posing as a friend who was not willing to serve. At another moment, appearing willing to serve but not show friendship. At another moment, showing friendship but without genuine concern. At another moment, showing loving concern but not actually being a friend. Such inconsistent reciprocations are seen in material life where there is no love. Let me just read that again so you get it. In material life, you get the following. You get the following. Just listen to this. In materialistic life, okay? So, you get people posing as friends, but being unwilling to serve. At another moment, they appear willing to serve, but they don't show friendship. At another moment, they make a show of friendship, but without genuine concern. And at another moment, they show loving concern, but they're not actually friendly. Such inconsistent reciprocations are seen in material life where there is no true love. But the point is that Krishna's dealings with the Pandavas were always free from duplicity, or any type of duplicity, including these different ones we've just mentioned. And of course, the feelings were mutual. The Pandavas were ready to sacrifice anything and everything for the happiness of Krishna. This is pure devotional service. 78. Because the Lord resides constantly with the Pandavas, their capital city has become like a sacred forest where great sages perform austerities. And residing in that city awards one the same pious benefits as performing austere acts of penance. Yeah. So, so many people and many sages and saintly people, They knew that Krishna was staying with the Pandavas at Hastinapur, and so therefore Hastinapur, which is, you know, you could say like an ordinary capital city in a sense, Hastinapur became like a sacred place, a sacred forest where great sages perform austerities. And for living in that city, people would get the same benefits as people get from performing great acts of penance, great austerities. So like this, Hastinapur and the Pandavas became so auspicious by the presence of the Lord. Okay, 79, Sri Parikshit said, upon hearing these words, Sri Narada became uncontrollably eager to see the lotus feet of Krishna. He simply wanted to go to Dwarka and live there forever. He stood up, sat down, and stood up again. He danced enthusiastically, filled with inner joy, and made loud cries. So Hanuman is still speaking. Hanuman is continuing on. But Narada just couldn't stop himself. Narada couldn't stop himself. He would interrupt. Hanuman would interrupt. Narada would interrupt Hanuman. Hanuman is speaking. Narada could not help but interrupt Hanuman with shouts of joy. Narada's ecstasy had become uncontrollable. Verse 80. Hanuman's heart was immersed in transcendental tastes from speaking about the Pandavas. With his ecstasy raised even higher by Narada's dancing, he continued to speak about the topics. So Hanuman didn't join Narada in dancing because his ecstasy is coming through speaking. Yes. Coming through glorifying the devotees more and more. So, in other words, his attraction to this katha, Hanuman's attraction, was not some sort of mundane urge for self-satisfaction, but it was rasa, transcendental mellow, transcendental sweet taste, known only to the pure Vaishnavas. Yeah. And this katha, katha rasa, acts like an intoxicating liquor. It makes those who drink it forget the pain of material life, because they just absorb themselves, immerse themselves in complete satisfaction and happiness on the spiritual platform. So Hanuman, you know, Hanuman's speaking. It's sort of like you could say, Hanuman is giving class. Hanuman is giving a lecture. And what would you think? I'm sure many of you give classes sometimes. And what would you think if, in the middle of your class, someone jumped up and started dancing wildly and shouting in ecstasy? And you're giving class, what would you think? So, well, I know what I'd think. But Hanuman didn't become annoyed. Rather, quite the opposite happened. Hanuman didn't become annoyed, but rather his ecstasy increased, and he felt inspired to go on speaking more and more. 81. Sri Hanuman said, all the calamities that befell the Pandavas were most auspicious and desirable. How could that be? Auspicious calamities, desirable. We desire calamities, Hare Krishna. On the material level, this does not happen. But they were. All the calamities that befell the Pandavas were most auspicious and desirable, because those calamities made the personality of Godhead anxious to join the Pandavas quickly. Amazing. So the point here, there's a purport here, and the point is made that, well, we already mentioned that the Pandavas underwent many difficulties. And the point is made here that whenever the Pandavas got into difficulty, which was regularly, then Krishna would drop whatever, he was doing and go at once to help them. And since the Pandavas' misfortune was auspicious, how much more auspicious was their good fortune? Oh. He helped them kill Jarasandha. And then at Yudhisthira's program, his Rajasuya, Krishna washed the feet of everyone. I mean, this is just the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the greatest of the greatest of the great. And he's now helping his devotees in ways like this. It's incredible, actually. So therefore, what Hanuman is saying really is, all those calamities and difficulties and problems, they were not really calamities, difficulties, and problems. They were just a show arranged by Krishna so the world could see what sort of people these are. These are the greatest devotees, and you can see it. So like this, Krishna glorified the Pandavas. So, okay. And 82. O Pandavas, pure love has subdued you. Ignoring discrimination and etiquette, you engage my Lord as your messenger and charioteer. It's incredible, isn't it? Ignoring discrimination and etiquette, the devotees are engaging the Lord as messenger and charioteer. Yes. So Hanuman, it's Hanuman speaking, of course. And he's just completely astounded, totally astounded at the behavior of the Pandavas with Krishna. And how they, in different ways, violated the standard etiquettes and like that. Let me just read this. Violating the proprieties that forbid servants from giving orders to their master. The Pandavas failed even to consider that menial services like carrying messages are not tasks in which to engage Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of the entire universe, the supervisor of Brahma, and all the demigods. Now you can't do that. The Supreme Lord submits to such treatment only from his dearest devotees. So that's wonderful. And that's what's so wonderful. There are many wonderful things about Krishna consciousness and how Krishna becomes the humble servant of his devotees. This is one of the most wonderful things about Krishna consciousness. Yeah. So, okay, so 83. Ah, you Pandavas must know some transcendental herb or mantra that can enchant the most powerful enchanter. You know, you get in sort of mystical sciences, you get different mantras. People control snakes through mantra. People can control people through mantra. And also with different special herbs, you can control different living entities who normally can't be controlled. So this is all different types of magic, you could say. And of all the people who know magic, Krishna is the one who knows the most magic. Therefore, he's called in this verse here the most powerful enchanter. But the Pandavas, by their devotional service, they enchanted Krishna. And this is just, it's so incredible. The Lord is just so amazing. So now let's see. There's the beginning of another little subsection here. Let's just have a look. So we just went from 73 to 83. Hanuman says the Pandavas are actually the most fortunate. Oops. So, yeah. Which brings us to, from 84 to 92, and what's discussed there is that Hanuman and Narada Muni decide to go and meet the Pandavas in Hastinapur. Yes. So you remember how Narada Muni was dancing and shouting in joy. Well, listen to this. Let me just see here. I think I'll just read through. I won't, do it twice. So 84. Parikshit Maharaj said, O mother, O celebrated wife of the son of the Pandavas, after Hanuman said this, he repeatedly jumped up into the air higher and higher, joining the sage Narada in dancing. He then continued to speak. Wow. So, anyway, the point is, when pure devotees are glorified, everyone in relation to them is glorified, including their families and disciples. So, Uttara, who, of course, Maharaj Parikshit is speaking to Uttara here, is both his mother on one hand, the mother of a great devotee, Parikshit, and the wife of a great devotee, Abhimanyu, the son of Arjuna. So thus, Uttara shared in the Pandavas' glory by marriage and by being Parikshit's mother. So she becomes glorious. O master of all masters, you are conquered by your great affection for your devotees. This is how you attract their hearts. So it is by doing these things, this is the point, by serving and assisting and advising and protecting, by helping his devotees in so many ways, this is how Krishna attracts the devotees, because of his great affection for him, they become attracted to him. Yes, by driving the chariot, being the order carrier, and all these things we already mentioned a few times. And because of their service to him, he becomes controlled by the devotees. Here, a verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.63 is quoted. 9.4.63. I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the core of their hearts. What to speak of my devotees? Even the devotees of my devotees are very dear to me. So a question is raised here that when the Lord takes these humble positions and gives up his independence and becomes dependent on the devotees, don't the devotees feel bad? Don't the devotees feel bad that this is my Lord, the greatest of all, and he's treating me like I'm his master and I'm just his, and he is just my servant? Oh no. Oh no, can't do that, shouldn't do that. So the devotees, when the Lord becomes the servant of his devotees, doesn't it cause pain to the devotees? And the answer to that is no, it doesn't. Because the devotees, their hearts become attracted to him and their love for him just overflows, and they become filled with pleasure, thinking that my Lord is so wonderful that he does these things for me. Yes, so he is affectionately concerned for the happiness of his devotees. Therefore, the devotees are happy to see him drive the chariot of Arjuna. And they don't think that, oh no, that's not good, mustn't do that. They're happy because he is Bhakta Jana Priya. He's dear to the devotees. And like an attentive parent, he nurtures and helps them develop spiritually as devotees, as transcendental persons. 86. It is my greatest fortune that Prita, Prita's middle son, that means Kunti. She's the mother of the Pandavas, but she's also called Prita. That Prita's middle son, Bhimasen, is also my dear younger brother. They're both sons of Vayu, in a certain sense. We talked about that last night. I think many of you were in the program yesterday afternoon, at least. And it was mentioned, we mentioned how Vayu is considered, in a sense, to be sort of like a father to Hanuman. Yes. And now Hanuman is saying that it is my good fortune that my younger brother is Bhima from the Pandava brothers. Yes. He feels these Pandavas are so wonderful, such great devotees and great personalities. And for me to have a brother like Bhimasen, one of the Pandavas, that's a great blessing. It's a great blessing for me. You know, there's a story, let me tell you a story. When Bhima and Hanuman met, you know this story. Bhima and Hanuman met. Because Hanuman, you know, he's way back many millions of years ago, as we mentioned the other day. And Bhima is much more recent, 5,000 years ago, when Lord Krishna was present. So how are they going to meet? But the thing is, Hanuman was still on the planet. And he's still here, even right now. But anyway, the story is, it's a nice story, that while in exile, the Pandavas were traveling around here and there, and they came to one mountainous region, and one very beautiful, incredibly beautiful flower fell into the lap of Draupadi when they were traveling around in that mountainous area. And she asked Bhima, can you find some more of these flowers? So Bhima said, sure, I'll find them. And he went up into the mountains. And so he's climbing and climbing, following the scent of the flowers and feeling, yes, I'm getting closer, when suddenly he came across this big monkey, this big old monkey, who was sitting with his tail, his big heavy tail, right across the path up into the mountains, which was the only path, and Bhima had to follow that path. So Bhima respectfully said that, could you please move your tail so I can continue on? I have a mission. And it was Hanuman, but Bhima didn't know. And Hanuman said, oh, I'm an old monkey. I'm very tired. I can't move my tail. If you want it moved, can you move it? You can move it yourself. And Bhimasen, as a Kshatriya, he became insulted. How can you do like that? Do you know who I am? I'm Bhimasen. You're a monkey. You must know Hanuman. Of course, this is Hanuman, but Bhima doesn't know. You know, Hanuman is my brother, the great Hanuman. So don't treat me like this, because I'm the brother of the great Hanuman, who's a great monkey. And the monkey, Hanuman, but Bhima doesn't know. The monkey said, "Who's this Hanuman. I don't know this Hanuman. Just don't bother me, you know, with talking about your relatives. If you want to cross, just pick up my tail, move it out of the way and go. So then Bhima tried to lift the tail. He couldn't lift the tail. And he tried and tried and tried till he just couldn't manage it any longer. And then he understood that I've insulted you, I've offended you, you're actually a very powerful, great person. I'm very sorry. Could you please tell me your name? And then Hanuman said, my name is Hanuman, and I am your brother. And so they had very nice reunion, embracing, and so on. So that's Hanuman meeting his brother Bhima, because they're both sons of Vayu, the wind god. Yes, anyway. So, let's see. Okay. We'll continue on from here tomorrow. That was 86. We will continue from 87. From 87. Okay. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Brihad Bhagavatamrita Ki Jai. Srila Sanatan Goswami Ki Jai. Gopremanande. Haribol.